Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, iTunes, Zeno.fm, TuneIn, Roku TV, and a whole bunch of others that I never remember because I never write them down. And chances are, in the future, I'm still not going to write them down, so I'll never remember them. Be sure to go to the homepage, get into the chat room, go hit that little join button down at the bottom of what you see on the chat. Get yourself an account on Element and get in there and toss around a bunch of ideas and have a lively discussion with everybody who happens to be in there. And check out the advertising spots. If you see something that you like, pick it up. I like Extendivite myself. If you have something for sale, go ahead and pick up a spot for yourself. It's cheap compared to everywhere else. And either way, it helps keep us on the air. And as always, if you got some change, burning a hole in your pocket, find it under the seat, find it under the seat of your car, between the cushions of your couch, under your bed, or wherever you happen to find it. And if you have the misfortune of walking down the street, San Francisco, please use a hazmat suit, pick that thing up, sterilize it, disinfect it, burn it if you have to, before you hit that donation button up at the top of the page and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported. And we don't get a ton of money to lie to you like CNN does. And apparently CNN doesn't get any more money like that either, because they don't have anybody left there. That's why they're cleaning house and firing everybody, because everybody kind of got tired of them. I'm going to have to ask you guys to kind of bear with me a little bit tonight. I'm a tad on the sore side. That's what happens when you spill your bike and you land sideways on every part of your body on that side. So if I sound a little bit disjointed or a little bit not quite up to my lively ass self, then you'll understand why. Road rash is a really fun thing to deal with. So is a busted up knee, ankle, elbow, oh, shoulders and back. That's always fun. But at least you give you an idea. If I sound a little bit off. But let's get into what, of course, my favorite topic of conversation, my topic of discussion, my one thing that I always end up bringing up whenever the topic arises is the Second Amendment, of course. And, of course, we got everybody going into it. We've got the fact that Joe Biden doesn't have any idea what he's talking about, but even though he claims to be an expert, we got Canada screwing everything up, but they don't have a Second Amendment. So, Canada, it's up to you guys to figure that one out. And we got some good news. We had a judge who actually followed the Constitution. But let's start with the first one here. This is a quick video from the John Birch Society called Tricked into Gun Control. Now, it's pretty much how every totalitarian government operates, as I've always said. It's always going to be for your safety. It's always going to be because there's too much crime, even though these administrations are creating the problem with the crime, as we've seen throughout the United States, going on when they claim that all these peaceful protests where cities are burning down are no problem whatsoever, except when now that they can use the violent statistics to try to enact more gun control laws and restrict your rights because, you know, the criminals will follow them too. So I'll just run this quick little video from the John Birch Society.
Thank you, President Trump. I'm so honored.
Once we can get past the ad that I didn't cue. Because I always forget that even on Rumble now, they're starting to have ads. Once it gets over, hey, there we go. If it will stop playing for 1 second. Dear Lord.
Have you ever posted anything on social media and maybe said too much? That is exactly what recently happened with the Convention of States, or COS, and its view on the Second Amendment. From the beginning, Convention of States promoters have assured us that because of the language of their convention application, alterations to the Second Amendment cannot be on the table. They assure us our right to bear arms is not at risk. However, the push for national gun control is constantly looming, being reignited after every major gun-related tragedy. This has prompted a Convention of States supporter to ask, why not include an update to the Second Amendment in COS? Gun control advocates wear out the point that it was written when people only had muskets. So why not make it read the way we want it to read now? The response was very revealing. They said it's called a clarification clause, and that's very much on the agenda of any number of the study groups that are currently being conducted around the country, composed of COS Project advocates and their state legislators. This post raises many red flags for me. First, there's the clarification clause. Now, this is not a new idea. Gun control advocates have suggested clarifying the wording of the Second Amendment on several occasions. For example, they wish to clarify that the right to bear arms only applies to military and police forces, which would effectively repeal the Second Amendment. If such dramatic changes to the Second Amendment can be accomplished through clarification, what else could be clarified? Second, now remember, COS has assured us alterations to the Second Amendment cannot be on the table. If that is true, why would they be holding study groups addressing the Second Amendment when this is outside the scope of their convention? This also begs the question, how many other topics are being discussed in these study groups which are not authorized by the COS application? And if the Second Amendment is very much on the agenda, hasn't the convention already begun to run away?
Okay, and that's one thing I brought up about the Convention of States before. I know there's a bunch of people out there pushing for, well, it's the only way we're going to get the federal government to obey the Constitution is to amend it. It's like, no. They're not following the body of the Constitution as it is. You think you're going to put an amendment on it and they're going to obey that one? Especially when it comes to the Second Amendment. This is why we wind up with agencies like the ATF, which have no problem creating regulations which violate the Constitution on a regular basis, like showing up at your door demanding to see your firearms. And anybody who's dumb enough to go ahead and get their firearms and bring it to the door where the ATF is standing there, well, there's a bullet with your name on it, courtesy of the ATF. You never show up at the door with a gun if the ATF is there demanding to see your guns. Trigger-happy little bastards that they are. But the thing with the Convention of States, the biggest problem is like this guy was saying, that the entire Constitution is going to be on the table. I've seen this kind of thing happen before when I was in the Republican Party. You go to a convention or you go to one of their authorized meetings, you know, whatever, you know, the monthly meeting or it's like, here's the rules that we agree to whenever we're going to have pass a resolution or whatever. Here's the rules that we agree to. Each side gets their turn and so on and so on. And then eventually somebody will come up and say, hey, I make a motion to suspend the rules. Somebody will second it because it's organized that they're going to do it that way. Then they call for a vote, it passes, the rules are now suspended, everything that you thought you were going into the meeting with is now completely off the table, and they're going to pretty much just do whatever they want. That, with the way everything is nowadays, does anybody who is pushing the Convention of States, do they really think for one second that it's going to go the way they say it's going to go? We're just going to put on the amendments that says the federal government has to obey the Constitution. Federal government has to obey the Constitution anyway. Has nobody ever read this thing? Especially the 10th Amendment. All power is not delegated to the federal government by the Constitution. Belong to the states or the people respectively. Did they forget that part? Is that not registering in the brain? Creating a new amendment attached to the Constitution is not going to fix that. Well, we're going to get a balanced budget amendment on there. No, you're not. Well, you can, but you think they're going to obey it? They'll find a way to get in there, water it down, and stretch the meanings of words and everything else that they're very famous for doing. And your balanced budget amendment will simply mean that, hey, we just decided not to have any kind of debt ceiling, any spending limits whatsoever. So we can spend all the money in the planet, never mind the fact that we're still going to owe that money. That doesn't really mean anything. As long as we have unlimited amount of funds, we can keep padding our bank accounts. So, I mean, that's really nice that all these people are out there pushing for it. They want a convention of states like because they think it's actually going to do something. I don't blame them. I don't blame them in the least because they're trying to exhaust all the avenues that we have to get this out-of-control government to start doing their job the way they're supposed to start doing their job because they obviously ain't doing it. And given from the crop of politicians or the candidates that have come up recently, I don't blame them for that either, because we got some real brain cells in there. We got some brain cells in there now, but some of the ones coming up are absolutely out of this world. We got Lurch's retarded younger brother running in Pennsylvania against a fake Republican socialist doctor who got famous on TV. Wow, that's a choice. So, don't fall for the whole convention of states thing. It's not going to accomplish anything. And like you were just hearing, that it's essentially going to put the entire text of the Constitution on the table. And again, who do you think is going to go in there to one of these conventions? You think it's going to be average Joe citizen? You know, your America-loving patriot, red-blooded, probably served in the military kind of guy? No, you're going to get all the globalists who are chomping at the bit to do away with the Constitution as written right now. Oh. And don't think they won't get them in there, because I've seen this happen before too. If you want to know how it's going to turn out, go back to California. Sherman set the Wayback Machine to California a few years back. I think it was 2010, 2011. During the census, after we got the census, well, then districts have to be redrawn. Well, everybody complained because the districts were being gerrymandered all over the place and drawn in such a way that, oh, you're favoring the Republicans over the Democrats here. The Democrats are favored over the Republicans here, you know, depending on the makeup of the redistricting committee in the legislature. So what did they do? Well, you guys want to complain about it? Well, then you do it. Okay, all you civilians out there, you go ahead and redraw. We'll set the whole organization up for you. All you got to do is send your delegates and, you know, elect your delegates. You send them over and redraw the district maps. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty good. And everybody that had a stake in it, and I don't mean average Joe citizen in California, I mean everybody who had a massive monetary stake in it, we won't mention any names, because they have a hell of a lot more money than I do. These people who essentially own the not even got their fingers in on it, not even are members of the state legislature, but people who actually own the state legislature in California. We won't mention any names, Charles Munger. They got all their kind of people in there that they wanted. And the district map that came out of that civilian oversight committee wound up looking worse than anything that the politicians ever dreamed up, because most of the people that were on that redistricting committee were all cronies of the money powers. You put you dangle the Constitution in front of these people, which way do you think they're going to go on it? Do you think that you, average Joe, America loving patriotic citizen, are going to even have anywhere near a shot getting at anywhere near that committee? Good luck, because it ain't happening. So don't be fooled. Well, yeah, you know, the Second Amendment will be safe as long as we make sure that we can do a convention of states. That is absolutely, it's a dumb idea to have right now, considering the makeup of everything. So don't fall for it. And by the way, speaking of guns, Joe Biden showed us his expertise on firearms yet once again. This is a guy who's vowing to take away your rights to own, keep and bear arms that he considers to be dangerous, that some other people look scary, and it's only because they're black, because these are racists. You know, they're prejudiced against black firearms. But Joe Biden showed off how much of an expert he is with that dementia-addled brain of his, and especially when it comes to ammunition. Now, I'm going to let the light of Joe Biden's brilliance shine upon you for a few seconds here.
My legislation says there can be no more than 8 bullets in a round, okay?
Okay, I'm going to play that one more time in case you missed it.
My legislation says there can be no more than 8 bullets in a round, okay?
I'm going to do a little math here. No more than 8 bullets in a round. Now, when I was in the military, we were not allowed to refer to ammunition in terms of bullets. They were referred to as rounds. I'm still trying to figure each one was a round. One casing plus gunpowder plus primer plus bullet equals a round. You put it in the chamber, you pull the trigger, bullet goes out the end, you hit your target. Hopefully you better hit your target. That's firing one round. Every time you listen to people talk about the difference between semi-automatics and automatics, it's semi-automatic, you one trigger pull equals one round of ammunition being fired. Automatic is one trigger pull, many rounds of ammunition being fired. So I'm trying to figure out where Joe Biden is cramming. How is he cramming 8 bullets into one round? Now that's going to be some tightly packed gunpowder, or it's either going to be the largest round of ammo you've ever seen in your life, depending on what the caliber is. But he's the expert here. Since, he's the one who knows what kind of firearms you should have and what kind of ammo you should have. But he also went on to say that, I can't make myself sound like Biden. I can't sound that dumb, but I'll do my best. When he went on to say that the guys doing these mass killings, they have magazines, they call them, that can hold up to 100 bullets in it. That's just like having an automatic weapon, which we're not allowed to have, by the way, supposedly. Okay, let's dissect this one. You can have magazines. Yes, and we do call them that because that's what they are. That can hold up to 100 bullets in it. By the way, each one of those bullets is attached to, when you put all the pieces together, it's a round. I don't know if anybody's ever used one of those 100 round magazines that you can attach. Let's just go with the AR-15 because they do make them. Those things are heavy. They're heavy. They're awkward. They're not practical. I mean, they're fun. You can shoot a lot of rounds without having to reload, blah, blah, whatever. But they're absolutely one of the most insanely dumb things. Unless you're shooting this thing off of a mount of some sort, it's completely impractical for anything. The magazine that most people use is probably the standard round magazine, which is 30. Not the 10. I mean, usually you can buy them. That comes with a 10-round. The standard round magazine that anybody uses is a 30-round magazine. You can get them in different sizes. You can get them in 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. That 50s is when you start getting into the drum, 75s and 100-round magazines. Like I said, not too many people I know run around with a 100-round magazine. If they want to spend the money on that kind of a thing, sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. But isn't it kind of like, doesn't really make any difference how many rounds the magazine holds? If you know what you're doing, you can swap out the 30-round magazine in about a second. Drop one, throw the other one in, and you're off and running again. Doesn't matter. And by the way, that is not just like having an automatic weapon, as for what I just said, because a semi-auto doesn't operate the same way an automatic does. And yes, you are allowed to have one. So Joe lied there too, because he's the expert. You are allowed to have automatic weapons if you have the license for it. You pay that $200 for the tax stamp, and you can have an automatic weapon. You can have machine guns pre-1986, which I think is, again, violation of the Second Amendment. So, again, Joe Biden being the expert thinks eight bullets go into a round and you get a magazine that has 100 bullets in it. Now do some math and try to figure out how many rounds that is. And having a semi-automatic with 100 bullets in it is just like having an automatic weapon, which you're not allowed to have, but you are. And it's not an automatic weapon. So dementia can be really fun, I think. I wonder what kind of crap goes. And I don't mean his pants crap. I mean, I just wonder what kind of crap goes on around this guy all the time. He also had to, of course, double down on the idea that AR-15 bullets travel 5 times the speed of an ordinary bullet. And AR-15s are made for one thing, to kill people. I can find no rational reason why assault weapons should be sold, period. Let's dissect this just for the fun of it. AR-15 rifles were not made to kill people. They're varmint and sporting rifles marketed back in 1963 to the civilian market. Wasn't even an offshoot of the military. The military version, the M16, didn't come along until later on. This AR-15 was originally marketed to the civilian market as a small animal hunting rifle, varmint rifle, you know, rats, mice, whatever. Rabbits, possum, raccoons, you know, whatever you hunt. So it wasn't designed to kill people. It can, but that's not what the original intent of it was. The idea that it'll kill people, well, that goes to the person behind the trigger. So he's goofing that one up. And he can find no rational reason why assault weapons should be sold, period. Well, I guess the military's shit out of luck then, aren't they? Because apparently assault weapons shouldn't be sold, period. Even to the military, I guess. By the way, the AR-15 is not an assault rifle. And I'm not going to go into what AR means. We already know that. But it is not an assault rifle. We don't send our military guys into battle with an AR. Semi-automatic. And then, of course, Brainiac there says, you know, the whole bullets traveling 5 times the speed of an ordinary bullet. That is an ordinary bullet. And the AR-15 doesn't even make it into the top 5 of the fastest bullets ever produced. So this is who we're listening to. Some people are listening to. I definitely isn't. Damn, I'm starting to sound like Fetterman. Sorry about that, everybody. But I'm trying to keep finding a decent way to sit here where I'm not racking myself up in a little bit of pain here. So again, please, like I said at the beginning, just please deal with me for a little bit. So on top of that one, we got to look to our neighbors to the north under Fidel Castro's son, Justin Trudeau, who is simply just banning, unilaterally, as far as I can tell, banning handgun sales and transfer. On the national level, just froze out every kind of handgun sale, transfer, period. Buy, sell, or transfer. You can't bring them into the country. And this was on last Friday. He got out there and said that... And he's proud of it, by the way. You can no longer do it. And just because I say so. I swear to God, we got our neighbors to the north. You guys have got to get a hold of this guy and get rid of him. I mean, anything in Canada that freedoms or liberties that you thought you had up there, you don't. He showed that with the truckers convoy that pulled into Ottawa. Shut down their bank accounts, started having people arrested, basically said you don't have freedom of speech. Well, not only don't you have freedom of speech up there, but you have no means to defend your freedom of speech anymore against the police. up there who will go along with whatever they're told, apparently, because they're the ones who are getting rid, moving people out and get rid of them and telling them that they had no freedom of speech. Well, now you don't have any right to firearms either. So Trudeau goes on. He goes, we've already banned more than 1,500 types of assault-style firearms, and we'll continue to do whatever it takes to keep guns out of our communities, unless you're the police and the military. And we've seen that story play out many times before, and what the usual outcome of it is. So anybody up in Canada, if you're listening, you might want to start looking into Canadian version of FEMA camps and see if they have those up there. You know, what other restrictions are they placing upon you? We saw what happened when people went to go to church during the lockdowns. We saw what happened when one of the pastors or priests or whatever his title is up there decided to say, hey, you're not closing my church. But what good is it really going to do to keep the guns out of your communities? I mean, like, the criminals are going to obey that one. We've seen what happened in Chicago this weekend. If anybody's interested, 50 people got shot and killed over this week. I don't know how many were killed, but 50 people got at least shot in Chicago, because, you know, those gun controls are working out so well. Somebody else on Twitter also mentioned Canada and said that only gangsters and criminals can now buy, sell, and smuggle handguns into Canada. Well, yeah, it sets up the black market. We already knew this. We've said it before. Anytime you ban something, it increases the value of it and creates a black market for it. Look at drugs. Look at alcohol during prohibition. Look at fully automatic firearms now. For some reason, the gangbangers still seem to get them. I mean, they're not overly prevalent, but there they are. I mean, Canada already had some pretty strict gun laws as it is. You had to have the registration, which was tied to the owner's address. You had mandates on storing and locking up your handguns. They tried to do that here in the U.S. Didn't work out so well. And you can only practice at the Royal Canadian Mounted Police approved gun shooting ranges. So whatever their approved ranges are, I have no idea. I've never been to one. But I'm pretty sure they're keeping an eye on. They had a thing in California, too, by the way. When I go to the gun ranges up there, there was a sign when you were leaving warning you to make sure that because of the way you have to transport your guns, they have to be in a locked up case in your car, separated from the ammunition. Because, you know, that's really useful in a situation where seconds count. Hold on while I unlock my case and get my, I got to load it. Hold on. Let me get the bullets. The 8 bullet rounds loaded into it. And so I can defend myself. But there's a sign there that says, make sure that you're in compliance, because LAPD will be waiting. You don't want to get pulled over by LAPD and have your gun in an unlocked case or anything else, because if they know you're coming from the range, they will search your car, and that's it for you in California. Meanwhile, the criminals don't care. They're just going to get them and go out and do whatever they do anyway. And believe me, I lived in an area in Los Angeles where it happened quite often. So Canada, you guys got to start taking. We're busy down here in the lower 48 here, trying to figure this whole situation out for ourselves. We can't take care of you guys too. Not that we wouldn't fight alongside you if necessary, and hopefully you would return the favor. But right now, that's not the issue. So please take care of this guy. I mean, before he bans the elections, like like they were trying to do here, like when they were federalizing elections in the U.S. or trying to federalize elections in the U.S. so that they could have complete control over them in violation of the Constitution. So it would take an amendment to do it. But they were going to go around that since they don't use the Constitution anymore. They're just going to go around that and create legislation that says that the federal government now controls the elections. But you might want to see to removing this guy from office somehow. But I don't know what if you have the same kind of issues with your elections up here that we have down in our part of the world, our part of the North American continent. Hopefully not too much. But going into some good news as far as the Second Amendment goes and guns in America. We do get good news every now and again. Sometimes they get it right. Not often enough, but they do get it right. So a judge threw out a federal law against guns with the serial numbers removed. Now, here's what the situation was with that. If you had a firearm and the serial number wasn't present, and I'm not talking about the ghost guns that they're all scared about, that you can, by the way, legally manufacture at your house if you have the ability to do it, and you don't have to serialize it. You're not for sale. You're not selling it across state lines. So therefore, it's out of the jurisdiction of the federal government, even though they're going to claim that it's not. No, it's within our jurisdiction because we say it is. Well, it's really kind of not. So, but I'm talking about guns that have had the serial numbers removed. If you had a gun that had a serial number and it was scratched off, it was a felony to have it. Well, apparently that's not the case anymore. Well, hopefully it's not the case anymore. I have to wait and see where this goes. But this article out of Zero Hedge went on to say that in a move that has gun control enthusiasts clutching at their pearls, a judge on Wednesday, so last Wednesday, ruled that a federal law barring possession of a gun with a removed serial number is unconstitutional. Q1 for the good guys. So using the precedent of the Supreme Court's landmark June gun ruling that found Americans have a constitutionally protected right to carry a handgun in public, U.S. District Judge, so it's a federal judge, U.S. District Judge Joseph Goodwin said that the serial number removal law was inconsistent with the country's historical tradition of firearms regulation. That's important. This was U.S. versus Price. Came from a criminal case in which a man named Randy Price was charged with possessing a firearm with the serial number removed. The law that was struck down made it a crime to either transport a gun across state lines or simply to possess a gun if it had ever crossed a state line. It's always the state line. That's when the federal government gets its jurisdiction, like I said. So Goodwin, by the way, who is a President Clinton nominee, so it shows you where this guy's coming from, he noted that serial numbers were not broadly required for all firearms manufactured and imported in the United States until the passage of the Gun Control Act of 1968, that unconstitutional piece of legislation. And the ban on possessing a firearm with a removed serial number didn't come out until around 1990. So given that, he found that the law barring the removal of serial numbers fails the test established by June's Supreme Court case, New York Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, specifically to justify a firearm regulation. The Supreme Court said the government must demonstrate that the regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearms regulation. That is absolutely beautiful. That can Now can we go after the Machine Gun Control Act, the Gun Control Act of 1968, and the NFA 1934? Can we use this ruling to get rid of those two? I think we can, because those are completely inconsistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. Given that the Second Amendment, by the way, which is part of the Constitution, is the supreme law of the land. So even though this decision from the Supreme Court, not Goodwin's decision, but the Bruin test, is only a few months old, it's already got several rulings against gun laws, including Texas law that barred 18 to 20-year-olds from carrying a gun in public. That one's gone. You know, you can put them in the military to die, but they can't carry a gun in public. Let's see, got rid of a federal law preventing indicted people from buying guns, because being indicted is not convicted. New York's post-Bruin ban on concealed carry of guns in airports, train stations, and other sensitive locations. So they got rid of that one. Okay, New York, of course, New York is going to come back with something else. It's what they do. And got rid of a Delaware law banning the manufacture and possession of so-called ghost guns, which I already just mentioned. Before you start grinding the numbers off of your guns, the federal government's probably going to go in and start appealing it, especially under Dementia Joe here. So the Fourth Circuit might get a say in it, but they may not get the final say. So, of course, people took to Twitter to voice their approval or disapproval of it. And, of course, you get the normal idiotic ones from far-left liberals, such as, coming from blue and a red state, Nicole, a federal judge said that banning firearms that have no serial numbers is unconstitutional. I wonder if they'd change their tune if one of their own was shot. Whether or not the serial number is on the gun and the federal judge, Supreme Court judge being shot, or a federal judge being shot, the correlation isn't even there, because the serial number has nothing to do with it. Of course, you can't explain that to a liberal. Of course, here's another one. A federal judge, okay, then you have to imagine the libtard, you know, on the ground, on their knees, gnashing their teeth and wailing and ripping at their clothes, and, you know, the world's coming to an end. You know, you have to get that in your mind when you listen to some of these. A federal judge in West Virginia has ruled that a federal ban on possessing a gun with its serial number removed is unconstitutional. Guns have more rights than women. Well, I don't know. Last time I looked, I never had to register my girlfriend or my wife. I've never had to, I never had to lock up my gun. I never had to lock up my girlfriend. I've never been banned from carrying my girlfriend concealed in public. And looking at some of these liberal women, that might actually should be a requirement to carry them concealed. I'm going to need an awfully big tent to conceal some of them. Oh, did I just upset some liberals with a sexist remark? What a bad person I am. Some other person, I can't remember. Alifair, I guess is what his name is. Why? A good reason there should. What good reason could there be to block a law banning owning guns with no serial number, or to own a gun with no serial number? Well, then you tell me what's the good reason to have a law that says you have to have a serial number. What exactly does a serial number do? Well, it traces the gun. Yeah, but if the gun is stolen, what difference does it make? It doesn't alter the function of the gun. Let's just put it that way. Of course, you can't explain that to them. Oh, here's another one. Republicans accuse Democrats of being soft on crime. They are. And then appoint Supreme Court justices whose ruling give Americans a right to obliterate their gun serial numbers so the weapons are untraceable by law enforcement. I can only explain this to him. I can't understand it for him, but criminals don't care. Yeah, if you want to see who's soft on crime, go to Chicago, go to New York, go to Los Angeles. And other cities, major Democrat-controlled cities around this country, and to see what's happening while they're releasing people back out onto the streets, out of the prison systems, and giving them nothing else to do and nowhere to go. Violent criminals, too, by the way. But the serial numbers on the guns is the problem. So, yes, of course, there's always going to be the gnashing of teeth. But you know what? We still have to chalk this one up in the win column. A judge got smart. A judge actually looked at the Constitution, looked at the history of regulation in this country as far as guns are concerned, and said, you know what? This doesn't make any sense with how we do things in this country. And like I said, now we need to go after the NFA 1934. Prior to that, that thing didn't. You know, is inconsistent with the history of gun regulation in America. You know what the history of gun regulation in America was prior to that? The Second Amendment. Then, of course, you had the Gun Control Act of 1968, which unleashed a holy hell of a bunch of new gun regulations. But it did not, it was and still is inconsistent with the history of gun regulation prior to 1968. Then you have, of course, you had the Machine Gun Control Act, 1986, which was inconsistent. Every gun, here's the very simple way to put it so people can understand it. There is no such thing as a constitutional gun control law. Okay, it doesn't exist. Let's just leave it at that. That's the Cliff Notes version under everything. That's the only one you really need to understand. So we got a couple of goofs and we got some good news going all at the same time as far as guns go. And I'll take the win for the win, and you know, I'll fight against the ones that are absolutely ridiculous. I just disappeared one of the things I was looking for. By the way, if anybody thinks that we're doing good, because again, you know, let's not ignore the elephant in the room. We got the midterms coming in 2 weeks, and it always cracks me up that all these people are out there saying, you know, if we replace the Democrats with Republicans, everything's going to get better. It's like, you know, you got to shake your head. The debate between the fake Republican doctor and Lurch's retarded younger brother, I didn't even see that until just like before I came on to the on the air here, and it's just like some of the things that they were saying, Lurch was saying, it's just like, are people really considering this guy in Pennsylvania to be senator? To send this guy? I mean, why don't you just send AOC's retarded younger sister? She'd probably make more sense than AOC. But this guy is absolutely out to lunch, and you know, he's still recovering from a stroke. He still can't understand what you're saying to him without a teleprompter to read. You know, it's nothing against the guy. You know, you had a stroke, dude. You had a medical condition that's preventing you from doing anything correctly. You can't speak correctly. You can't form sentences correctly. Okay, you're simply not capable of doing the job right now. But yet, you know, the people on the blue side of the bird, on the blue wing of the bird, are saying, like, yeah, this is the guy we have to have sent to D.C. The people on the red side of the bird are saying, Dr. Oz, yeah, he's the guy we have to send to Washington, D.C., realizing that neither one of them are worth anything. And that's what's called the illusion of choice. And this is what we're getting, the illusion of choice in the midterms. Governor here in Wisconsin, we get the illusion of choice between an avowed communist. Well, he didn't actually avow it, but everything that he does pretty much proves it. And another guy who nobody knew much of, that much about, who doesn't seem to have a problem with the 2020 elections and the way they came out. So don't expect the election systems to get fixed anytime soon, even though he says he is. I'd like to believe that he is. I really hope that he does something about it. But again, he wasn't – before the midterm elections, you know, the primaries, he was not that great of a candidate. He still isn't. I watched the debate. I played some clips of it the last week, and it was just like, you got to be kidding me with this. This is what we get to choose from. We're not sending our best and our brightest to Washington, D.C. That much should have been obvious for a long time. But some of the stuff that this guy was coming out of this guy's mouth is unbelievable. Let's see if I can bring this up. By the way, he starts out the debate with saying goodbye. I'm not even kidding. See, I can't do it that way. I got my state-of-the-art sound equipment all set up here, so. But this is how you start a debate, apparently.
As Lieutenant Governor, you're running for a seat that could decide the balance of power in Washington. What qualifies you to be a U.S. Senator? You have 60 seconds.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
Well, that's the end of the show. Good night, everybody. I guess the debate's over. And here's another thing that he said. Here's Lurch's retarded younger brother once again saying that I'm fit. My doctor says I'm fit to be serving.
Again, my Dr. L believes that I'm fit to be serving, and that's what I believe is where I'm standing.
Well, as long as he believes that's where he's standing, that's where he's standing. Whatever that means. You can't make this stuff up. Here's a couple more. I just got to run these. Got only a few minutes left before the break, so I'm just going to kind of run these out. I honest to God can't believe anybody's taking this guy seriously. I'm surprised he didn't wear his hoodie to the debates, because that would have made it consistent and believable, I guess. I mean, he sounds kind of dense. Again, not busting on him for having the stroke. It's just that seems to be what he is even before then. But here's some word salad that's worthy of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and themselves.
And how can a man, you know, with you know, 10 gigantic mansions, you know, am willing to talk about a willing wage for anybody? Imagine a single mom trying with two children, trying to raise with them, realizing making $31,000 a year, you know, $15 an hour.
Does somebody got a Fetterman to English dictionary? Does he come with a translator of some sort? We can figure out what it is he's trying to say. I would love to see him debate Joe Biden on stage. Now that would be entertaining. I'd buy a ticket to that one. Hopefully somebody, you know, that's a ticket worthy event there. Sell out a stadium to watch those two go head to head. That would be absolutely hilarious. But no, he wasn't done yet.
No, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able to, that's the most American bargain, that if you work full time, you should be able to live in dignity as well. True. And
dear God, this is the best we can do, folks. Well, not us here in Wisconsin or in some other parts of the country, apparently, but I guess this is the best that Pennsylvania can do. I wouldn't vote for Oz either. That is one of those elections where it's a no-win situation for you if you're going to go into the booth and pull a lever for either one of these two. I would really hope that in their district, are they running for senator? That they have a third party. I would really hope that there's another name on the ballot for that office, that some people have a choice, or there's a write-in option of some sort where people can not have to choose from either one of the two. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works. People are going to look for the R. They're going to look for the D. You know, Democrats are going to be convinced that Lurch's retarded younger brother is the best. He's the guy we want in D.C. I swear to God, between him and AOC, that's going to be some entertainment for the next couple of years if he wins. Oh, my God. Can you imagine those two trying to get a press conference together to push some issue or some bill through and having all the media around them trying to decipher, frantically trying to decipher what it is that they just said. Does anybody understand what the hell they're saying? And, of course, they'll be agreeing with each other, you know, AOC and Fetterman, but neither one of them have any idea what the other one just said or what they're talking about. By the end of it, I swear, that could only be a couple of minutes long, you know, just a quick press, a quick statement to the press. And by the time it's over, they'll be on a completely different subject because they won't have any idea what either one of them are saying. I mean, nobody's... We're going in here. We're going to talk about the poor migrants coming across the border. By the time they're done with it, they'll be talking about hookers, thigh high boots, and what, you know, what, how, you know, are those right? Are those the right size? We know we need to make sure that all the hookers get the right size thigh high boots. It'll probably be by the end of it. Who knows? This is absolutely ridiculous. That's the best they think that we can do. And again, Oz is no peach either, and I already saw him before. He's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal Democrat, switched over to an R just to be able to get on the ballot as a almost a lock at this point for the seat, and somehow got Donald Trump to endorse him. Again, not one of Donald Trump's shining moments. Anyway, we will be right back after the break, so stay tuned, everybody.
Secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, your slightly injured, beat-up host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, iTunes, Zeno.fm, Roku TV, TuneIn, and a bunch of others that I never remember because I never write them down, and probably never will. Be sure to go to the homepage. Check out the chat room. Hit that little join button down at the bottom of it. Set up an account with Element and get in there and start tossing around ideas with everybody in the chat room. Check out the advertising section. If you see something you like, pick it up. If you got something for sale, pick up one of the ad spots. Either way, it helps keep us on the air. And as always, if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, you find some under the seat of your car, between the cushions of your couch, under your bed, or if you have the misfortune of walking down the streets of downtown Los Angeles, please use some tongs before you pick it up. Then disinfect it, sterilize it, burn it, whatever you got to do. Kill it with fire, and then hit that donation button up at the top of the page and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported, and we need all the help we can get to help keep us on the air, because that's what we do. So, going into, again, we were talking about Lurch's retarded younger brother, Fetterman, running for office. And this is the, again, like I said before the break, this is the best we can do. Well, some people decided to put that to the test about this is the best we can do. Because you always hear during elections, you know, why do we always wind up with these politicians or, you know, career politicians? Why do we always wind up with people with a JD degree, which is a judicial degree? You know, why do we always wind up with the lawyers? Why do we always wind up with these corrupt? Where are the scientists? Where are the teachers? Where are the working class people wanting to get involved? Where are all these other real Americans? Well, these aren't Americans, but they are scientists, apparently. And as going back to the idea of this is the best we can do. Now, remember, these are scientists, which means they went to school. They had to study for years to learn how to have a scientific mind, how things work. This is what scientists do. They spend time in the laboratory trying to figure out how things work. Well, obviously, they didn't understand how superglue works inside a car show. So, and remember, scientists are supposedly considered some of the smartest people in the world. Otherwise, they wouldn't be scientists, right? So, This, by the way, happened to be in Germany at a Porsche car show, you know, showing off some of their new fancy design cars that you and I will probably never be able to afford. But again, some of the smartest people out there decided that we're going to protest climate change, the catch-all, because we're having a climate emergency, and Volkswagen, which owns Porsche, is having a negative contribution to the climate emergency. By the way, there is no climate emergency. We're not having global warming. We're not having global cooling at any rates that are any different than any time in the history of the planet, which goes back about 4.5 billion years. Climate change has been happening about that long. Taxing people more is not going to change it. Matter of fact, that's not even the reason. Okay? They don't want to fix the climate. They want it to keep doing what it naturally does. That's how the planet survives. They just try to figure out a way to make money off of it. So anyway, these brainiacs decided that to protest, they glued their hands using super glue to the floor of the showroom. Now remember, these are supposed to be smart people. Well, that was going really, really well, and one of them tweeted out, together with 15 other members of the Scientist Rebel One, I have occupied the Porsche Pavilion. Yeah, occupied. The Porsche Pavilion at Autostadt. Nine of us glued to the floor and some of us on a hunger strike until our demands to decarbonize the German transport sector are met. Again, these are scientists talking about the zero carbon. This is the best we can do, folks. Well, I guess this was all going really, really well, and they were all happy and patting themselves on the back with their one free hand since the other one was glued to the floor, until one of them figured out that they, or decided that they had to take a piss. And one of them probably had to take a Joe Biden. But they were stuck to the floor because they're scientists. Can you guys bring us something to relieve ourselves into? Nope. Now, who would have thought that would have been the response from the car company? But we really have to go. Yeah. You're smart. You didn't figure this out on your own before you decided to glue your hands to the floor, huh? Whew, I'm glad you guys don't work at this car company. Well, then they shut the lights off, the car, Porsche car company. They shut the lights off to the showroom and turned off the heat. Wait a minute, we're cold. Yep. We can't see anything. Yep. Wow. Amazing. Two for two, observational scientists that they are. We have to go to the bathroom. Uh-huh. And then they got mad. I don't understand why they're not providing us with a bowl to urinate and defecate in a decent manner while we are glued. I mean, come on. It's like those idiots who go into the galleries with the real famous pieces of art are, you know, the Van Goghs and the Monets that they decided to throw mashed potatoes and tomato soup on. Not figuring, you know, there's a piece of glass in front of it to protect the painting. And then glued themselves to the wall and started yelling at everybody. My whole thing on that is just like, I want to see you get off the wall. Because you're going to be sitting in your own Monet there in a second. Actually, you're probably going to end up sitting in a Jackson Pollock, but, you know, I'm not much of an art critic, so whatever. So, again, this is where we're headed, folks. We got Fetterman is the best that they can do for running for, and Oz running for Congress. We got scientists that glue themselves to the floor, not remembering how biology works. Well, I guess none of them are biologists, apparently. I hope nobody had a real big meal before they decided to do that, because that could get real messy. But that's the best we can do. I think we're doomed as a species. I don't know about you. But, oh my God. So, I mean, you really got to laugh sometimes. So with all the crap that's going on when you watch the supposedly the smart, because they have degrees, so they're supposedly the smartest people in the world, you know, figuring out how to create new and useful things in this world by combining elements together, or if they're biologists trying to figure out how to fight the COVID, you know, which of course they're not, but, you know, that's beside the point. But, you know, you'd figure that they'd be doing something useful for mankind, and that they're very highly intelligent to do it. But no, what do? They figure out how to glue themselves to the floor without figuring out how they're going to take a piss. Absolutely awesome what education system we got going in the world. And you have to laugh, because if you don't, you're just going to break down and start crying, apparently. But, dear Lord. But that, of course, always brings us over to other subjects as well. When you want to talk about scientists, at least there's pushback. Because I did mention the COVID. That's the elephant in the room anymore, because it screwed up. It was the catalyst for screwing up everything on the planet for the last 2.5 years. Everything. At least some people are getting it. Like Christine Anderson over at the European Parliament. And I'm not sure what this was. I think it was some sort of a debate. At least it was set up debate format, you know, with the podiums and the people standing there. And she just went off on him. And I really wish we would see, not like Fetterman, because you know he's not going to do this. I really wish we would see some of our own politicians in this country, in the U.S., you know, England and Australia and Canada. You guys have got to have your own worries about your own politicians about this, too. But I really wish we would see some of our guys. What happened to the backbone of any of these Republicans or Democrats who happen to be in opposition to any of this, standing up with some actual fortitude and telling the proper people to go F themselves? This has all got to come to a stop. But none of them ever do. We always get some mealy-mouthed crap from our so-called Republican opposition, which isn't really opposition all the way, if you understand how that works. And then you got a full-blown attacks from the other side, you know, the communist side. Oh, excuse me. Did I say communist? I meant Democrats or Republicans, either way. But the ones who are against it, why aren't they getting up there? And maybe some of them are. The thing is that you never see them on the fake stream media, because the fake stream media has got a vested interest, because they're owned by the people that own all the other crap that's going on. So you're only going to get to see what they want you to see. But this one got out, and Christine Anderson just went ballistic. I really wish we would see some of our politicians get up there and do this, because I hate during the election season like it is right now, and I'm always seeing everywhere I go, it doesn't matter, it's on YouTube, it's on Rumble, it's on BitChute, these stupid effing ads for all these politicians. You know how bad the guy I'm running against is? That's why you need to vote for me. It's like, well, what are you going to do? Well, you know, I'm for this and I'm for that. Yeah, but what are you going to do? But don't you know you have to vote for me so the other guy doesn't get in? Why? I am absolutely fed the hell up with all these stupid goddamn political ads when we already know that they're not going to do anything. They never do. We get a few of them. We get a handful of them that actually get in there and try. But there's too many of the politicians that have just sold us out. They're bought and paid for. And they're absolute crap. And that's why we wind up with Fauci never getting prosecuted, even though I'm going to slam Mike Senator if he gets through the November 8th and then sits on his ass and does absolutely nothing. And I don't mean just I'm going to have some more hearings, and you can see how many hearings I'm having, so you know I'm doing something. I mean, if I don't see some of these people going to jail, I'm going to replay this bit over and over and over at them, where I got to ask him in front of a bunch of people, will you hold some of these people accountable? And he said, you're damn right I will. I'm the one doing it. I'm the one who's holding them accountable now. I'm definitely going to hold them accountable. It's like, well, we'll see. And my definition of accountable is not having hearings and dragging them out in the public spotlight. Although it's important, but my idea of accountable is I want to see them in prison orange and on their way to a life sentence in some cases. Anthony Fauci would be a life sentence, although hopefully his life would be very, very short and end at the end of a noose. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. But this is, before I go off too far, this is Christine Anderson at the EU. I'm not sure if this is a debate, but she basically tells the European Union to pretty much go F itself, which I think is pretty awesome.
We're pleased to have hold another press conference today
because
of the events unfolding after the committee session of last Monday, when our colleague, who I hope will still be able to join us this morning, asked Pfizer a question, and the answer was really what made the news. Put in a nutshell, the cat is out of the bag. It was a gigantic lie, what they told us, that these vaccines would prevent you catching this virus or would prevent transmission. Well, none of that was true, as it turns out. And based on that lie, all of the mandates, all of the lockdowns, all of the non-pharmaceutical measures as wearing masks, staying at home, curfews, all of that was based on that gigantic lie. And yet they will not acknowledge it. No, they just go ahead with whatever they want to do with us. I would like to point out a couple of things from the EU Commission's action plan, EU response to COVID-19, preparing for autumn, winter 2023. As you might have guessed, the focus, of course, is still on these hazardous mRNA injections. Well, that's not surprising here. They would like to implement and coordinate effective communication initiatives and strategies to promote uptake of additional injections and complete the primary series of those who have not even begun yet, the unvaccinated. So once again, a particular group of a population is being targeted, and that's what they're trying to do. They would like to increase vaccine confidence by debunking myths and disinformation. Well, who is spreading the myths and the disinformation? It is EU Commission. It is the pharmaceutical companies. It is governments, especially in the Western democracies. They are the ones spreading the myths and the disinformation. They are the ones telling people lies. For what? So their pharmaceutical companies make profits and profits and profits. And the risks? Well, guess what? You, the taxpayers, you will be left with the risks. And then, of course, they want to target, and that they specifically say that, target hard-to-reach population groups. Well, I guess in that instance, they are actually talking about me. Yes, I am a population group, because I saw through their lies from the get-go. I'm still unvaccinated and I will remain unvaccinated. I will not inject a poisonous substance into my body, point blank. So go ahead and try to target me. Good luck with that. Then, of course, they go on with the gaslighting, labeling vaccine hesitancy. This is what they call it. As anti-Western and anti-EU. Can you believe this? So anyone who is not willing to let themselves be injected with this vaccine is anti-Western and anti-EU. No, ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear about this. If you do not want to poison your body, and it is your choice to do with your body whatever you please. Remember, my body, my choice? That's their narrative, actually. Remember that. So, if you do not want to take that vaccine, that has nothing to do with being anti-Western or anti-EU. It is pro-people. That's what it is. And it is anti-globalist elites. That's what it is. And in this action plan, they refer several times to not only COVID-19, but now they slip in influenza. So this will be the next step for their measures, whether it be vaccinations or non-pharmaceutical interventions like wearing masks or staying at home curfews. Then they will be able to do so when there is an influenza pandemic or wave. And whenever I think they could not possibly come up with yet another atrocity to inflict on people, they sure as heck prove me wrong. The EU Commission proposes now the prioritized administration of the update injection for the vulnerable groups, and then they list who these vulnerable groups are. And they start by saying people aged 60 years and older, individuals with underlying conditions. No problem there. But then they list another group. And you really need to brace yourselves for that one. The vulnerable group among those who should be given priority to take this update vaccine are pregnant women. I have never heard anything more despicable than that. Because the point is this, they do not know what this vaccine does to the unborn child. They simply have no clue. And yet, now they're pushing it on pregnant people. And keep in mind, there has been a drop in birth rate. We don't know why that happened. You would expect the opposite of that. I mean, people were locked down. Remember what happened when they had a blackout in New York in the 70s? 9 months later, they were like babies left and right. But not this time. People were locked up for months in their homes. Nothing. Drop in birth rate? Interesting question. And these are the questions that we should be asking. So just to give you an update on that, they will continue to try. They will continue to push whatever their end goal is. They are trying to. And I would just like to thank you for supporting us and for letting us know that we indeed are advocating and fighting for what you, the people, want. These globalists and their puppets are but a few people with no regard for you, for the people. We, on the other hand, are many because we are the people. And we will continue to fight for you, for your rights, for freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. Thank you very much.
So where are our politicians saying any of this? Oh, they'll come up with, we're fighting for the rule of law. They always say that while they're busy violating it on a regular basis. We watch them do it all the time. Anthony Fauci being the number one culprit at the moment. I never said what I said even when I said it, but not even then. I never said that I was doing gain of function because they changed the definition of gain of function, so I wasn't actually doing it even though I was. And meanwhile, he's handing off another, before he hands another $650,000 off to the same company that was doing gain of function research at Wuhan in the first place. And then, of course, Boston University gets caught doing gain of function again in the United States, which, by the way, is illegal. But you hear some of the good politicians, like Rand Paul. I like Rand Paul, I really do. But he's in there grilling Fauci on what he was doing. But then he's not disavowing the vaccine itself. I'm not going to disavow the vaccine, but I'm just saying what the things that happened to Wuhan and all the rest of it that Rand Paul, you can go back and look at all of what everything that he said. But he's not disavowing the vaccine. He's not saying that people shouldn't take it. I want a damn politician to get up in Congress and in many press conferences as possible saying, I'm not taking it. The whole thing was a damn lie. It's a poison shot. It's killing us. Here's the VAERS reports. Here's all the other reports. Here's the other doctors who are getting persecuted by the globalists and the media and the government, not to mention the FDA, the CDC, and all the other Rockefeller-controlled healthcare systems that have been put in place are losing their licenses and all that, saying that, hey, guess what? Here's the drugs that work, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, and so on, that will help fight this thing and are very effective at doing it, who are getting slammed. You should be taking these, not the death shot. Here's all the evidence of all the adverse reactions and deaths that are being happening because of it. And yet, at the same time, I don't hear one single politician getting up there and have anywhere near the spine that Christine Anderson just showed. Where are they? What happened? We used to have some politicians, real good ones, that had a little bit of fire to them. I mean, whether you like Donald Trump or not, at least he did. But except even his problem is he's still pushing the vaccines because it was his idea. Somebody once said that Donald Trump's biggest asset is that he's pigheaded, and his biggest liability is that he's pigheaded. And when it comes to these vaccines, it's pretty much a liability. You know, he's the one who got them out there. He takes the credit for it, so he's not letting it go. In the face of all the evidence we have that this thing was an absolute disaster from the world. And it was designed that way. Even the CDC, Dr. Walensky, I've got my vaccine and I've been boosted, three times already. She got COVID anyway. It didn't really matter. So it's proven time and time again that these things are not effective against this virus, in quotation marks. But they keep pushing it anyway. It was never designed as a vaccine. It was never designed to do what they sold it to us as, but it was designed to do as intended. And its intention was to kill as many of us as possible. I absolutely believe that. And of course, they'll get out there, all these other people, oh, no, they would never do anything like that to us. Absolutely they would. That's been a part of their agenda for decades, more than decades, even probably almost a century, more than a century even. Who knows? William Cooper wrote about this in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. You should read it. I guarantee you it's worth the read. When he talked about back then about all the programs and that were put in place in the government that were signed in, how much money they were getting for funding, and how they were going to release a microbe of which they had the actual cure for, but they were not going to give you the cure. They were going to give you a whole bunch of these so-called vaccines and make you feel good while they were offering you in record numbers. And once they figured they got enough people done, then they would break out the actual cure and everything would be fine. And you could bow down and scrape and worship them because they came up with the cure for this thing that's killing everybody. I kind of figured I already know what the cure for this is. Number one, if you get it, go with it. It's not going to hurt you. It's a 99.97% survival rate. And then take vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and all the rest of it. You'll probably feel like crap for a couple of days, and then you'll be fine. It's like the AZT back when the AIDS thing was going on. It was AZT that was killing everybody. And Anthony Fauci was in charge of that too. But where are our politicians like her in this country getting up and on soapbox somewhere and screaming this stuff out like she was doing at this press conference? It is a press conference, not a debate, by the way. Because I don't see them doing it. No, they're all busy. Well, we're not going to... we're not going to question the science. We were going to go along with the vaccine because it's what we have. It's like, question it. Not only question it, deny it even is – deny its efficacy. Excuse me. I'm telling you what. I'm screwing up a little bit on my words tonight because my knee is like throbbing and a few other parts of me that hit the pavement as hard as it did the other day. So like I said, please bear with me a little bit. I don't mean to sound like Fetterman. But deny the efficacy of this thing because it isn't working. The VAERS system is way underreported. We've had a guy on Granada Forum on Friday nights at 7, by the way. This guy, Bienvenidas, who worked with the VAERS system because he works in medical billing and he has to look at this stuff. And he said it's being underreported. It's like maybe 10%, 1 to 10% of everything is being reported. That means there's 90 to 99% that isn't getting reported or reported incorrectly. So take the numbers that we already have and expand them by that much. But we got too many politicians in this country who are more worried about their careers and making sure that they get that fat government pension that they get after spending only 5 years in office. Or is it 10 years now? Whichever. They spend that much time and they get a 100% pension rate. They get access to the congressional healthcare system, which is not Obamacare, and which is way far and above better than anything that we're going to get because we're the dirty, unwashed masses that they don't care about. Meanwhile, they're out there. These are the same people that had screwed you over for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, who are saying, "Can you please give me my job back because I'm fighting for you." That's really, where the hell were you for the last 2.5 to 3 years? Where were you when were you fighting for me? When were you getting out there and actually fighting for me? What business? People's businesses were being closed down. People were being told they can't go out of their house. Then they had to wear a mask, which was causing even more respiratory problems. Then came, you know, the mandatory vaccines if you want to keep your job. This is the only way to go back to normal. And so we already know the story. We've been living through it for the last 2.5 years. I'm not going to rehash all of it, but you get the idea. And meanwhile, Christine is up there telling the whole EU at this press conference, you know, go F yourself. We're not doing this anymore. We're not locking down. You're not putting that death shot in me. We're not playing along with the program anymore. Done. We're finished. It's over. I have yet to see even my senator, who, by the way, is actually pretty good when he got the all these the ones who are fighting against this entire mess that we've made over the last couple of years. No, Dr. Corey Malone and a bunch of others had him in a nice little summit meeting that he had. You know, Ron Johnson, my senator, did this. And, you know, I'll take my hat off to him. At least he did that. But he's still not up there saying that, telling the entire medical community in this country to go F themselves. We're not doing this anymore. He's not saying that. We have mountains of evidence that says everything that they did, which is what, by the way, if you read Event 201, if you read that whole pamphlet, the report, if you read Operation Lockstep in that that report that came out back in 2010. If you read all the subsequent reports in between, what they did over the last 2.5 years, it was exactly what they were going to do. They told everybody, this is what we're doing. And yet you bring up hey, well, Senator, have you read this? I don't deal with conspiracy theorists. This is a Rockefeller Foundation publication. I don't wear a tinfoil hat, and I'm not into conspiracy theory. So I want to have one politician. I mean, we got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's awesome. We got a couple of others. Like I said, a handful. But you don't see any. You'll never see Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham. You'll never see them up there doing it. You'll never see anybody on the Democrat side doing it. Screaming and hollering that we have to stop doing this now. And F you. Even Biden said the pandemic is over. And you watch the panic happen where all the people came in from outside. We're going, it's not what he said. We still have to deal with COVID. The pandemic isn't really over. So absolutely effing ridiculous. But again, it all went exactly as planned. At least there's somebody over in the EU who's standing up against. There's probably more than a few people. She just happens to be the latest in the line, which is great. Hopefully there'll be more of them. But it did what they were supposed to do. They're probably taking notes and saying, okay, this is what stuff that worked. This is what didn't work. How can we panic them worse next time? Because you know there's another one coming. They probably have already got the new vaccine all ready to go that they're going to try to force on everybody again. And our only real hope on this is don't comply with it. Don't bother with it. You have to wear the mask. It's like, I'm not going to. Well, then you can't get on public transportation. Okay, I won't. You know, you kind of got to go Gandhi on them. Every time they tell you not to do something, or no, you have to do something, it's like, I'm not going to. But if you don't do what we tell you to do, well, bad things will happen. Yeah, okay. You know, the only people that can be controlled are the ones who allow themselves to be controlled. There's 330 million people in the United States, 7 billion plus worldwide. And how many of these people are actually in government across the nation? If everybody stood up and said, to hell with you, we're not doing it, what really could they do? Say we have, no, this is just a random number I'm going to kind of toss out there. And, you know, it bears no basis in actual fact, because I don't know how many people are in government combined on the state, on the local, state, and federal level. So I'm just kind of put this out there. And this is probably with all the agencies and everything else. And say there's 1 million people in our government. You know, we're not talking just of the federal government. We're talking like their staffers and the alphabet agencies that are out there, ATF, FBI, CIA, DNR, Bureau of Land Management, all the rest of them. Say there's 1 million people. That's still, you know, if there's 330 million people in this country, that's 329 million people who aren't. That's 329 million versus 1 million. What exactly could they actually do if 329 million people stood there and said, we're not doing it? I kind of get the idea that I kind of think I know what they would do is the politicians would probably turn around and say, hey, you don't have to do it. I was on your side the whole time fighting for you, guy. Make sure that you vote for me in the next election because I was there for you. And of course, it's all a bunch of bullshit that they lay on us all the time. It gets very old, but they'll never stop. But this has been being worked on for a long time. This whole thing for the last, and again, like I said, then like Christine got up there and told you to F off. And I want some of our politicians to tell our government, medical systems especially, to go F off. We're not doing it anymore. So I just had to play that and make the comparison between what she said and career politicians in our government who they're licking their fingers and holding it up in the wind to see which way it's blowing, essentially. Because you can tell they do that because every few years they'll come out and say something and you'll catch them and go, didn't a couple of years ago you say something else? No, I never said that. I'm very consistent. You know, they're so full of shit. They're not the people to be listening to run your lives. And yet, Fetterman and Oz are a couple of prime examples of why you shouldn't be listening to them to run your lives. But I want to run this because this is, I find, fascinating here. This is a quick video, and it's a little animated, so you don't have to worry about the visuals on it. But this was done in 1964, and it's called How Communism is Implemented. Now, of course, we know about Joseph McCarthy. We know about Robert Welch. We know about Cleon Skous and G. Edward Griffin, a whole slew of other people who were warning us about what was coming. But again, this was produced back in 1964. And the reason I want to run this is because every single bit of this sounds extremely familiar. This could be current events. And I don't mean like current, like, oh, well, the 1990s. No, I mean like in the 2020s, current events. From even 2016 on up. Let's move it back just a little bit. 2016 to now. This whole thing sounds like contemporary history. And again, this was done 50 years ago. So take a quick listen to this. Oh, and use it as a learning lesson too. This, because you're never going to get, at least for me anyway, I'm always going to be fighting communists. Every one of them, even when they pretend they're Antifa, even when they pretend they're Black Lives Matter, even when they pretend they're Bernie Sanders and socialists and not communists, even when they pretend they're big booty Latinas like AOC. But so take a listen to this and think how much does this sound like what's going on today? Remember, this is 1964. My state-of-the-art gear here.
Divide the people. Split them into quarreling factions, fighting among themselves rather than their common enemy. This is the comrades' first rule for the conquest of any country. For well do they know from long experience that the nation so divided and weakened can be easily conquered from within.
The communists disdain to conceal their views and aims. They openly declare that their ends can only be attained by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. The most powerful enemy can be conquered only by exerting the utmost effort and by thoroughly, carefully, attentively, and skillfully taking advantage of even the smallest rift, of every antagonism of interest among the various groups or types within the various countries.
With phase one, that of dividing the population, completed, the revolutionists were ready to move into phase two of the communist blueprint for takeover. Create the appearance of popular support. In every country now part of the Red Slave Empire, the actual number of Communist Party members at the time of takeover has been less than 1% of the total population. As Lenin phrased it,
communism must be built with non-communist hands.
By cleverly beguiling thousands of well-intentioned people into unwittingly supporting the revolutionary program, the dedicated 1% can trick the 99% into surrendering their birthright. This they do by hiding the true communist objectives behind appealing slogans and pretended humanitarian goals. As Stalin explained,
the revolutionary accepts reform in order to use it as a cover for his illegal work.
After the communists have found some issue or point of difference upon which they can divide the people, get them fighting among themselves rather than their common enemy, the next step is to create the appearance of popular support for the communists' war of national liberation. They have been devastatingly successful thus far. Yet in one country after another, there have been alert, informed individuals who saw the signs recognized the patterns of conquest and raised their voices to warn the people. Against just such a contingency, the communists developed the third phase of their blueprint for world domination. Neutralize the opposition.
We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us.
A Communist Party directive issued in 1943 reads,
members and front organizations must continually embarrass, discredit, and degrade our critics. When obstructionists become too irritating, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic. Constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
The next step in the communist strategy is the most easily recognized, for it consists of the tactic of getting masses into motion, and thus precipitating mob violence. Master psychologists that they are, the communists know that once the masses are in the streets, it's not too difficult to convert an orderly demonstration into a full-scale riot. They know, too, that when rioting occurs, police and military forces of the government must move to restore law and order, and thus they have the first visible signs of revolution.
Riots, demonstrations, street battles, detachments of a revolutionary army. Such are the stages in the development of the popular uprising.
The official constitution and program of the Communist Party stated in 1921,
the Communist Party will educate and organize the working masses for mass strikes and mass demonstrations. It is through struggles that the working masses are prepared for the final conflict for power. As these strikes grow in number and intensity, they acquire political character through unavoidable collision and open combat with the capitalistic state. Mass action culminates in insurrection and civil war.
In 1964, a communist document taken from the Viet Cong stated,
get the people out into the streets. Quarrels should be provoked. Youth groups are to be armed with knives and clubs, allegedly to protect themselves in the manufactured tension.
Sound familiar?
In China, as in all countries, the communist appeal was aimed primarily at students, young, idealistic intellectuals, most of whom came from wealthy families who could afford to send them to school. It was from this group that the young communist recruits came who later provided the leadership and backbone for the armed conflict to follow. In Cuba, leftist-oriented students were the vanguard of the organized street demonstrations. Once the masses were in motion, that tenuous line between demonstration and riot, between nonviolence and violence, was easily obliterated. As law enforcement officers sought to restore order, police brutality became the cry of the insurgents. The invariable charges of police brutality were hurled as efforts were made to maintain law and order. When marches and demonstrations turn into riots in any country slated for takeover, the communists are then ready to implement the final stage of their blueprint for conquest. It takes only a handful of armed opportunists, criminals, and savages to create the semblance of revolution.
Only insurrection can guarantee the victory of the revolution. The purpose of insurrection must be not only the complete destruction or removal of all local authorities and the replacement by new, but also the expulsion of the landlords and the seizure of the lands.
And so it has been, with but minor variations in one country after another. Divide the people. Create the appearance of popular support. Neutralize the opposition. Precipitate mob violence. Create the semblance of a revolution. An accurate summary of Lenin's strategy for the conquest of the world is as follows.
First, we will take Eastern Europe. Next, the masses of Asia. Then we shall encircle the last bastion of capitalism, the United States of America. we will not have to attack. It will fall like overripe fruit into our hands.
Does any of that sound familiar? They're using the same playbook from all that time ago. I mean, everybody thinks that what they're seeing with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the riots in the streets, the complacent governors and mayors of the cities letting the cities burn and all. They think that, oh my God, this is all new. We've never seen anything like this before. No, we have seen it before. We've seen it hundreds of times throughout different countries on the planet, Russia being the big one with the Bolshevik Revolution. We saw it with China when the United States refused to support, I'm going to butcher the guy's name, Shychek, the Chinese emperor or Chinese president, and let Mao's forces take over there. We saw it happen in Nazi Germany out of the same playbook. We saw it happen in Uganda. All of them have been using the same playbook. And some of the quotes that you were hearing were from Lenin, some of them from Stalin, some of them straight out of Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. They're running the same plays in the United States right now that they did back then. And everybody's like, and you still got these people in school. Remember, like they said, you get the kids who are in college, you know, the young idealists. And you see them out on the streets every time somebody shows up with a different opinion. They start screaming their heads off. They show up in a mob and they try to get any event canceled that they don't like because it goes against what they think is their own ideas that they formulated in their heads. Not indoctrinated by their communist professors and K-12 teachers. No, this is something they thought up all by themselves because they're smart. That's why they're in college taking gender studies. So we're watching exactly happen what we've seen happen all through the 20th century, even before that. And to recognize it is the way to find out how to get rid of it, how to stop it. And we've been doing a really piss-poor job at it, I hate to say. We've got too many of these left-wing politicians in power in the cities. Look what happened to Seattle and Portland. Okay, look what happened in D.C., that whole fiasco in D.C., January 6, 2020, when the cops were opening up the barricades, opening up the doors. You had FBI plants in the crowd. You had a whole bunch of other plants in there who were bust in, and the ones who were causing all the violence, by the way, the ones who were smashing windows for no reason other than to make it look bad. So they were giving the appearance of an insurrection, and all the politicians who knew what they were looking at were saying, this is an insurrection, we can use it to stop anybody from opposing us again. That is the communist model right there. And they're going to keep running that playbook until it stops working, and then of course they're going to shift it. Again, they'll vary the degree to they take it to, they'll switch up the way the plays are being called, but they're all going to be doing the same thing. We're watching it happen here. We're watching them let the people out of jail so they can keep the violent crime rate high. Then they can scream, oh, you have to be disarmed because you naughty little children can't be trusted to exercise your own rights. We're going to take away your freedom of speech off of the new public square, which is social media. We're going to shut you down if you show up in person where you do have the right to make your voices heard at school board meetings. Okay, we're going to stop all the newsprint. We're not going to put anything on the fake stream media in magazines, printed newspapers, online articles, or on the so-called nightly news, which is the nightly fairy tales. We're going to be pushing our narrative and make sure that that's the only one that gets through. And then we're going to try to shut everybody else down by suing them into oblivion for $2.75 billion. You know, once they knock out the big guy, Alex Jones, first, then they're coming for everybody else, believe me. If you make too much noise, they're going to be shutting you down and saying, hey, you know, what you said was offensive to to Jack over here. So Jack gets to sue you for $1 billion. And if you can't pay him, well, we just take away your platform. We shut everything else down. That, and by the way, if anybody thinks that that Alex Jones thing is going to stop where it is, there's already been a lawyer that says they're going after Kanye West using Alex Jones as the precedent. So, yeah, it's going to have further repercussions on it if it's allowed to stand the way it is. The communist model in action. It's happening here in the United States. We need to stop it. We need to stop complying with all the bullshit healthcare issues that are up because they're not there for healthcare. They're there to keep you sick. We need to stop complying with letting them violate our constitutional rights. Every chance they get, you don't have a right to firearms. You don't have the right to free speech. You don't have a right to due process, especially under red flag gun laws. And we're not constrained by the boundaries of the Constitution set forward to us as under the 10th Amendment and written in the body. You don't have the right to your vote. That's why they're trying to federalize it. And why when you have fraudulent elections, massively rigged elections, we don't see the evidence of it. We're not going to go for it. Part of that is not doing their job, to implement this communist agenda. So we need to look at all of our politicians sideways. People who want to get into politics, vet them before you don't. Screw the party. The party lines are what got us into this problem in the first place. Sure, it's always Republican versus Democrat. That's a fake argument right there. That is absolutely the worst argument because both the Republicans and the Democrats are working on the side. It's, again, controlled opposition. Now, if we want to keep our system of government, we've got to force them to follow the Constitution. If not, get rid of them. And I don't mean by every election cycle. Well, we can get rid of them in 2 years. We need to find a way to get them out of office faster. Because every time we have to wait for them, and that's the way that they do it, we have to wait until the next election. Every time we do something like that, by the time the next election rolls around, people have a very short memory span, and they forget what they did, and they vote them back into office, and I've seen that happen time and time again. Anyway, I'm out of time. That's my show for this Tuesday. I will see everybody on Granada Forum on Friday. Tuesday morning on the Nelter Healthy Connection show. And remember, if you can't be good, be bad. Bye, everybody.
Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's hyphen, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt. Ha 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 ha.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in.